1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RTE.ie, 51551 is our text number, and 1850 715 815. Maria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Now, did you know, Maria, before you were assaulted in the hospital, that the man who assaulted you had already threatened you?
Yes, I unfortunately was threatened while I was on leave. I was on a week's annual leave, or on a week's off from night duty leave. And basically what happened was all the consultant on the ward, all the nurses, the other registrar, doctors, everyone knew that the patient threatened to kill me. And I was told after I was attacked and everything that due to confidentiality, that is patient confidentiality, nobody had an onus on the ward to contact me to let me know I was in such danger.
So in other words, this man had told other medics for some reason he was going to attack you, but you weren't told.
I wasn't told, and I really think that a staff member who, I mean, I'm not an agency nurse, or I'm not somebody who's just there on a day, not day, here and there. I worked on this ward for many, many years on a permanent basis, and absolutely loved my job in nursing, and I was at this time, I have a lot of qualifications, but at the time I was working in an inpatient psychiatric ward, and basically the patient had very, very serious paranoid schizophrenia. And with paranoid schizophrenia, we all know as trained people that these people can kill, because unfortunately they suffer from delusions, and delusions aren't being, you know, they're actually false beliefs and not in keeping with reality or rational argument. And due to the seriousness of his illness, basically I feel I should have been told, you know, that and I was going to be attacked.
Would that have been hospital policy, that whatever the patient says remains confidential to the people he's...
Well, that's what I was told, but I think that's a mistake, because I think people, staff, have the right to know if there are any threats against them. But unfortunately, at the time I was attacked, I don't know whether the HSE has brought in this policy, because actually to me at the time it was just common sense. If I'd have found somebody in danger or anything like that, the first thing I would have done was lifted the phone to inform them. And there were many things that could have been done. I could have gone on annual leave, I could have shifted wards, I could have got security to the ward, I could have done a number of things, but that wasn't afforded to me.
So tell us about, if you can, because it sounds incredibly traumatic, tell us about the actual attack that he had threatened to do, but and told other people in the hospital, but they never told you. But
yes, what happened was I returned after a week off to night duty in a HSE hospital, and I was told nothing during the handover period or anything like that. I went on about my work, and I was given out medication at about 10 o'clock at night. Okay. And next minute I saw this patient who was quite large. He went quite pale in the face. He mustered all the adrenaline that was in him and ran towards me to attack me. And fortunately, I could get behind a door, but I couldn't get it shut. And unfortunately, he kicked and slammed, and really his energy and his, you know, in the in that state, obviously people get very, very strong, and I just was no match for this. And basically I ended up with very, very serious neck injuries, and I had to have neurosurgery. And as a result of that, I suffered huge problems afterwards with post-traumatic stress disorder. And unfortunately it ended me by giving up my beloved nursing very, very early, and has led into huge financial problems, you know.
And Maria, was he it's quite clear that he was targeting you, or was he targeting somebody in a uniform?
No, it wasn't that. You see, people probably don't understand paranoid schizophrenia, mm-hmm. but delusions can give you false beliefs and they're not in keeping with reality. So he basically thought, I found out later, that he actually thought I was going to tell the consultant to write up prescription medication for him that would poison him.
Okay.
And this is one of the actual symptoms of delusions with a person with severe paranoid schizophrenia, you know. Now, I would very, very much like to say this was not, in fact, the patient's fault. I would defend the patient completely, 100%, but I think the fault of this lay on the HSC. I asked for a year and a half, could they put a policy in place, if it wasn't common sense, to ring people when they are in danger. And, you know, basically, I have had to leave work in 2009 due to all the injury. I did try to go back, but it was just proved impossible.
Because you'd be on with a back injury, especially a neck injury. How did that incident end, Maria?
That ended with me. I had two male nurses with me. One came to my rescue, but it was too late. I was injured at that stage. So in actual fact, when I went down to the office, I was in charge that night, and I took out the chart. Obviously, I had to call in the doctor on call to see the patient at that time. I didn't matter at that stage because I thought it was just suffering from shock. And I was even more shocked when I took out the notes, the nurse's notes, the medical notes, everything, and I could see my name down several times on each person's notes, each discipline, doctors, consultants, nurses, all through 1 week, that he was going to kill Maria.
And he identified you by name. He didn't say, I'm going to kill that nurse who gives out
no,
the
No, he identified me by name. And I really feel very bad that the HSE could let such a thing happen, you know, that not to inform. You know, I don't agree, obviously, with people coming out and breaking patient confidentially or anything like that. But in my case, I was a full-time staff member there, I should have been informed.
And Maria, in the guards and the prison staff and that, there is a compensation scheme for injuries occurred while you're doing your duty. Is there no such thing for nurses, no?
I don't think, no. If you're out of work, you get 6 months salary, you get half pay then, and then you don't get pay at all. You're on social service, or in my case, a very, very small pension, because I had to leave work very, very early. I didn't have full pension.
Okay, well, I think people will be very surprised to hear that there's no scheme in operation for compensation for nurses or medics, indeed, that are injured while on duty. Maria, thanks indeed, and look after yourself. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, by the way, I should say, at the end of the piece with Maria there during the break, she did settle with the HSE on the steps of the court for an amount of money over the actual assault, but she says there is no scheme as such. 51551. Let me go to Aisling Doyle. Aisling, what did you see in hospital?
Well, when I was in hospital, I saw people with schizophrenia attacking the nurses.
So
I just wanted.
Yeah, well, tell us what. Tell us what you witnessed. Like one episode or two episodes.
It was one major one where they smashed the glass on the nurse's station. They were trying to get into the nurse, and to be honest, they didn't know what they were doing because they were so unwell.
Yeah.
So it was just really scary to see it happen.
And how did that episode end, Aisling? Do you remember? Did security
come? I didn't see. I just went back to bed.
I presume you were scared as well.
Yeah, I was scared. Yeah.
And are there any? Okay, you don't have to give me too much detail.
I'm conscious
of your own privacy as well. What was there other incidents that you saw? Smaller ones, hopefully not as serious as that.
There were smaller ones, like people throwing plates. This woman had dinner, and she didn't want to, so she showed at the nurse. So I thought that was scary as well, because she had schizophrenia as well.
Yeah,
it's just a scary place to be in.
And is there, like, what about your own security? Your own safety?
Yeah, well, I'm not in that place anymore.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm in a better place.
But when you were there, were you nervous at times?
Yeah, I was. Because you don't know when they were going to kick off or start or, you know, that kind of way.
Oh, God. And could you...
Yeah, I was only 16 when I was in there.
Wow, Ashley.
For a year, and it was really scary because they didn't know what was wrong with me, to be honest. Mm. But then they found out, the doctor found out what I had.
Yeah. But the ward you were in wasn't for physical unwellness.
No, it was a psychiatric illness.
Okay. Sorry, that's why the... And that's a fascinating point. In a psychiatric unit where people are, as you say, unwell, and Maria said the same, he didn't blame the patient, he was paranoid, suffering from paranoid schizophrenia. What about other people in the community, so to speak, that's living there? Were the doors locked, Aisling? Is the ward locked?
The ward was supposed to be locked, but the door was broken all the time, so people kept trying to get out and walk down the corridor, and you just don't know what you don't know what they're thinking or what they're going to do.
And how did you get through a year in there, Aisling, at 16?
Oh, I had loads of support from my doctor, and I just got through. I was really unwell. Like, I was physically and mentally unwell
because
from school, you see, I had to leave school early and all of that.
Yeah. And who got you through? Your doctors, your friends, your family?
My mum and dad and my doctor. Brilliant. And then I was put into residential care where I'm much better now. Like, I was on to you last week about something else.
Oh, great. I'm so glad to hear you. I mean, we can hear you so well insofar as we can. I'm so glad to hear. But you came through it, even though you did. You spent a year in a hospital.
It was a year and a half.
Oh, Aisling.
Yeah.
And you managed...
I got through it eventually.
Okay. And how did you get out of hospital?
Oh, I just did. I don't know how. I don't remember.
Well, did you ask yourself, can I go home? Or were they the hospital saying to you, listen, Aisling, we think you're well again?
Well, when they felt it was much better, they put me into newer healthcare. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No, tell us.
It's people with disabilities, and they have different problems like schizophrenia and ADHD and borderline and autism. So I went into that place.
Okay, how long were you living there?
I'm still in that place.
Oh, okay.
I'm living in that place 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
And that's going well?
Yeah, it is.
Great. And you have contact with your family and friends? And
oh, yeah, I see them each weekend and everything.
Good. And your day-to-day life, Aisling, can I ask, do you work outside the unit, so to speak, or is...
Yeah, I'm independent. I go to college every day.
Brilliant.
And I'm
brilliant.
Studying
brilliant.
And that.
Brilliant. What are you studying?
Leaving Cert and English.
Well done.
Leaving Cert, history and English, Leaving Cert.
Okay, well done. Aisling, that's an incredible episode in your life. I'm glad you're through it, and you're a lesson as well to other people to get through it. But they can get through it. But it's also your point earlier that you witnessed staff being assaulted.
Yeah, and
I'm surprised that there isn't a scheme like the one for the Gardaí or the prison officers, where they don't have to go through to get to the steps of the High Court to try and bargain for compensation or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, Aisling, look after yourself.
I will.
And talk to you soon. That's Aisling Doyle. Thanks, Aisling. 51551.